You're listening to episode 223 of the Pinball Podcast. Hi, Jeff.
I could have made the intro music louder.
So do I just sound like incredibly loud now?
Oh, there it goes again.
Oh no.
Why? See, that would be appropriate right there.
Pew, 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 pew. That's my favorite part.
What a horrible intro I created for us. For you, actually. I stepped all over you. Sorry.
Hi, Jeff.
Oh, hi, Jess.
Hi. Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Also great.
Yay.
Yeah. I, you know, have much to complain about, but none of it that I should. So,
of course you do.
Yeah. I will be complaining later, but with all the stuff that I've been doing, I don't have a whole lot to complain about because I've had a good time period between shows. So that's
yeah. Great. What have you been up to?
Okay. Let's get into it.
All right. It's almost like there's a show in a format.
Almost. we could trick people into thinking this is planned. Well, my league wrapped up that I've been playing for, I think it was an eight week league plus finals.
Second place? So that was,
no. Oh. I did make the A division finals. I forgot what my final position was, but I think it was, I don't know, like top seven or something. I think I made semifinals. I don't know. But it was fun to be playing competitive pinball again consistently and in an ongoing, like, points matter week to week fashion. So it was good. Like, I stayed right there at the top all season long and finished well. I got to the finals and I won every game that used standard flippers and I lost every game that used precision flippers. So I'm going to talk about those more later. But yeah, league wrapped up and that was fun. It was good. They did a great job running it. And at finals, I won $69.
Nice.
And it was good. It was a good time. Also, week to week, if you had the high score on a game, you got just one of those dollar coins, you know, little brass coins or whatever the Sacagawea is. And each week, I did manage to win a coin. So that felt great. So I had at least one game I blew up every week of the league.
Nice. I love a Goldie game. Anytime you can do dollar games for coins, it feels nice. It feels more substantial somehow.
Yeah.
It makes it terrible for Tommy Dollars, though.
Definitely. The day after league, we flew out to California because we were going to go to Universal Studios to go to Super Nintendo World with the kids.
Yeah.
That was a blast. But a couple of days before that, or earlier in the week, we went to Golf and Stuff. Yes, the Golf and Stuff that Daniel LaRusso goes on the date to in the Karate Kid movie. It's still there and it looks the exact same. Just the games have changed. So, yeah.
It's okay.
So yeah, I went to the Golf and Stuff, and they had three pinball machines. They had a Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, and Guardians of the Galaxy. I tagged them all with my initials and rolled some free credits.
Look at but you.
The Star Wars is Star Wars, so I only played that once. And Jamie, she suffered through a few credits on it. Guardians of the Galaxy was a premium, so I was like, oh, cool. I don't see that very often. It's not too often that you don't have the pleasure of the giant hands blocking your view of the orbits. But the mouth was broken, so there was no Groot multi-ball.
That's always fun.
But I still was able to grind through about six modes, so
nice.
Tagged that one. But Lord of the Rings worked well, except for the magnet on the ring. So I got all the way to destroy the ring and couldn't get it to go through is either like the shot would have to be perfectly paced to fly in through the ring without the magnet. You could trigger a mode start, but you could not destroy it, which is a bummer. But got through all the multiballs, everything, set a high score on it. That was fun. It was cool seeing a Lord of the Rings on location. I haven't seen that for a long time.
Okay, so I was just talking to my friend Drew from back in Portland, who I miss very much. And we were talking about like when we started playing competitively and we would hang out. He worked for one of the operators in town, and then he ended up working for another one. But he would always have to hear me complaining about their games. But we were playing at this place called the Lost and Found. They had a Lord of the Rings there. So we were playing the heck out of it. And it was the company that he used to work for's game. And so he didn't like, you know, have their keys or anything, but he also wasn't working. So that wouldn't have been a thing for him to do at the time. But it kept saying destroy the ring. And I kept hitting it like over and over and over and over again. But like that second switch,
the one that's the
initial switch
in
the ring, and then there's the one in the back, would never register. So he's on the phone calling them to tell him it's broken. And I'm in the background.
Right now, she'll trap up.
I hit it 12 times, Jeff, 12 times while he was on the phone with them. And every time the game's like, destroy the ring, I'm like, I'm doing it. We're just like laughing our asses off just trying to play this game. But it was super fun regardless of if it was working or not, just because it was good hangs. But just talking about how Lord of the Rings has some ring issues.
Yeah. And unfortunately, when the ring's in rough shape, it brings that game down quite a bit. But man, it has the best jackpot callouts in pinball. So good.
It's so severe.
He put his full chest into those callouts.
There's a period after every syllable.
Yes. Jackpot one. So good. But that's all the pinball I played on the trip. Super Nintendo World was a whole heck of a lot of fun. And so was Springfield all the Universal Studios. It was a blast. Every inch of that place is just charming. The kids lost their minds. It was so much fun. We got the power bands. We did it. We went and saw Space Shuttle Endeavor, which was super cool. Went to Little Tokyo, went to Chinatown. We stomped all over the place, man. We stayed up in the Hollywood Hills, like way, way up the top. It was crazy. Our view was, you could look down and see like the Harry Potter castle down in Universal Studios from way up there. It was fun. Ate a lot of great food. But eventually had to come back.
I'm glad that you had a wonderful trip, but I'm also glad that you're back so that we get to talk about your wonderful trip.
Yeah. Made it back. And then kind of between that point and now, between recording and talking about this stuff, I've been behind the scenes working on the what's going to happen with the Pinball Podcast website. It's not ready to unveil yet, but there's some improvements coming there. And I'm happy about what it's going to be. It's going to be nice. It won't be a virus-ridden dirtbag of a site any longer. And I'm excited for that. So
that's so unlike us.
I know. Every once in a while, though, you do have to go a little off-brand to keep them guessing. So
That's fair.
I think that's it. I think.
Okay.
If not, whatever.
Or you'll remember it later or not. Maybe whatever. I have not really played any pinball. I know that that's not great for us to talk about, but I will say that my favorite spot in Florida that I found, the Pinball Asylum in Fort Myers, I know we've talked about them before. The owner, David, and his whole, you know, board that he has there, they're run totally on donations. Their collection is absolutely incredible. They held the Worlds there last year for IFPA. They are unfortunately getting kicked out of the building that they're in after them having that space for like 12 years. So if anyone has been there, or is looking to go there in the future, they're run totally on donations. So buy some shirts, you know, see if there's, if you know someone who has real estate in Fort Myers or whatever, anything that you can do to support the Pinball Asylum, because we do not want them to go away. It's just a very cool collection of machines that you don't see anywhere else, run by really amazing people who are super passionate about pinball and just so friendly and such lovely humans. And I really want them to land in a good new home. So, you know, unfortunate news, but I'm trying to look at the positive of they get to find a space that's, you know, more tailor-made for them. And hopefully the space will be perfect and amazing and it'll be a good move, even though they weren't looking to make one.
Yeah, that is frustrating.
Yeah.
The prices little guy, the little guy gets pushed around a lot these days.
Yeah. Okay, little guy getting pushed around. Also, just the costs of things being so bizarre, like housing prices up, car prices up, pinball prices down. I don't, it's so, everything's all over the place. I don't understand. Can we go back to a bartering system?
Yeah. It's rough. Like, I don't even know, like, how it's going to reverse anytime soon. Just like building space is weird. The industry itself is kind of weird. The economy is who knows what's going to happen state. I don't know. Like, it's just a bummer because it's always the little guy that has the price extracted from them. So,
yeah. Well, it's an unfortunate, but I really hope that they find themselves an amazing space and that it's even bigger and better than it was before. Well, still currently, it still exists right now until the end of their lease agreement. But definitely support the Pinball Asylum, support any of your local pinball locations, because everyone's going through a time right now and they definitely need it.
Yeah, let's take care of the good people in the hobby, huh?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, aside from delivering dire news, what else have you been doing, Jess?
So I don't know if you knew this, Jeff, but I sell pinball apparel.
You do?
I do.
Good stuff. And I'm wearing a soft plunge t-shirt right now.
Yeah, you are. I love it. Anytime I see a picture of someone just like at an event or at a like non pinball related thing and they're wearing one of my shirts, I get really excited. So,
there's a hug incoming.
Yeah. All the hugs. Or the booty shorts out in the wild is always a good one. I see a lot of them for like people doing yoga classes or, like pole or silks or that kind of thing. With the leggings too. So those are always fun, but we've been having a really big sale and it's a really very big sale. But by the time this podcast drops, the sale will probably be over. So what I did was made a coupon code for anyone listening to the podcast that will be good until the night of December 9th. For 15% off your entire order at ddpinball.com. So there you'll find all of the soft plunge merch and all of the double danger merch. So if you would like to support a small business made by people who genuinely just do it because they love it and they want to support independent artists, then please, please come and buy some swag. And if I see you wearing it, yes, there is a hug incoming.
All right. And the thing is with the soft plunge stuff to give a little bonus reason to buy it, it's like good quality t-shirts. It's not scratch your neck Gildan garbage.
Yep. And it's not direct printed. Everything's screen printed by hand. We also have stickers and patches and hats and all kinds of weird stuff also. But yeah, I don't ever want to make things that I don't want to wear. So the t-shirts are like super comfortable, and they're longer than standard. So, you know, like when Jack Danger is wearing one, he can lift his arms up and he's not, you know, showing the goods because the shirt's longer. So, that kind of thing. So if you're a little bit taller, if you like a kind of longer fit shirt, something soft that's not going to be super boxy is what I try to go for. The hoodies are the softest hoodies I've ever worn in my life. And I have other hoodies that I got before I started doing this, and I go to put them on and I was like, nope. I can't do it. It's not the same. But yes, I appreciate all of the support, and the code, the coupon code, of course, is Yay Pinball.
Oh.
Per Jeff's suggestion. All one word. And you can redeem that. Uh-huh. That's who that was. Yeah, ddpinball.com through the night of December 9th.
Very cool. Okay. December
9th. So that's what I've been doing.
All right. That sounds good. I know it's the time of year when you're focusing on, you know, peppermint lattes and the like togetherness and hugs and all that stuff. So pinball sometimes takes a little backseat this time of year, but that's okay too. Okay, then that's fine.
It's a weird time of the year. You know, because there's so much going on. It's like there's a lot of good stuff, but a lot of people also have really negative holiday associations, and there's weird money stuff that happens around holidays. Everybody gets a little more stressed, but pinball is the nice, fun, relaxing thing that we can do together and focus on just to have a good time, everybody.
Okay. Well, Jess.
Yes.
Talking about a good time.
Yes.
A lot of people have been checking out this video that went up. And when I say good time, you know I'm referring to Labyrinth Pinball. But did you see the tested video?
Oh my God, with Adam Savage. Yes, the video is incredible. Oh my gosh. It's the best like deep dive into a machine, especially from someone coming like from an outside perspective. So talking from like a more art oriented focus and an engineering oriented focus, it was so great to see how excited Adam was about everything. Cause you know, like I always love Mythbusters. I don't know if you were a Mythbusters fan.
Of course.
You can tell when he's like going through and doing stuff, and then when he gets really excited about something.
Yeah.
He was so excited about Labyrinth.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if you look at the just beginning when the video starts, like the first 4 or 5 minutes, he's sitting there grinning like a little little kid. And it's great.
It's so great. The quality was awesome, and it's so good. And getting to see some of the sculpts and some of the sketches, it's a great video. If you haven't seen it, highly recommend going and checking that out.
Definitely. And when we say deep dive, like, it's deep. That is quite, I mean, it's perfect, actually. They go seriously all in, and they did a wonderful job on it.
Yeah.
So genuinely. Check that out. And
speaking of Labyrinth, I just saw that Dr. John got his Labyrinth in Australia. So it's the first Labyrinth to land in Australia, and it is going to be at the Australian Pinball Open this weekend. So if any Aussie mates are listening and headed to the Australian Pinball Open, be sure to play Labyrinth. Let us know what you think about it. It's great to see them, you know, getting out into the world more.
I am dying to play one. I don't know why, but I've just been bad at getting out to the shows this last year. So I've had a lot of like true FOMO, but not actually fear of missing out. It's just actual missing out. I don't know what that's called. Just missing out. But yeah, I've missed out a lot. And yeah, Labyrinth is probably the one game that I hadn't been able to play that I've just been dying to the most. I finally got a chance to play Scooby-Doo in the final week of League. That's how far behind I am. I just played Scooby-Doo for the first time.
What do you think about that?
I thought it was fun, but I only played like one complete game on it and then a couple of balls. I found it hard to drain, actually. I felt like draining it seemed to have to have been an intentional exercise, but I did enjoy it. I thought it was cool. I didn't quite understand everything that I was doing. Just towards the end, I just realized you just really wanted to get the ball up top and just bang around up there with it. It was pretty.
That little bookcase flipper that like opens with a little secret passage door. That's my favorite part of the game.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, it had a lot of fun little things in it. I would have liked to have played it in a quieter room because I could barely hear it. Yeah. But yeah, I can see why people enjoy it. And so anyway, you've played Labyrinth. I haven't. Blah, blah, blah.
Jeff doesn't want to talk about it anymore.
I'll talk about it, but I'm going to be grumpy about it.
What else is new? Jeff's feeling grumpy.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that after
the hurry up. Crash. Hey, you want to do hurry up now?
Do you not want to do hurry up now? Are we going to wait to hurry up?
Let's.
Hurry up. Hurry up.
I think we should do hurry up now.
Yeah. Okay, good. Just checking.
Can you tell my brain is firing like 50 different ways? Like, I feel like I sound like a crazy person. I'm here, everyone. I am paying attention. It just doesn't seem like it.
Well, I feel like you may have told me we were talking about something else, and I may have just completely skipped it because my brain's in 83 places. But that's, I think hurry up's a good thing to do.
It is. It is. Yeah. And I do have three games, and you should have three games.
I do.
Let's have you start with your first one.
All right. Meow, 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 meow. Bad cats.
Bad cats. So this is actually a great one to discuss. This is a game I used to not like much at all, but now I adore. I love it. For me, just nailed it.
Yeah. Agreed, because that's because you're a smart man.
Yeah. Sorry, well, I agree. Anyway, yeah, it's a great game. I don't see them hardly ever anymore. I think they've just made their ways into collections and kind of disappeared. Yes.
Yeah. I convinced, after much pestering at Allentown a couple of years ago, my friend Joe to sell me his Bad Cats, which came with, he had everything ready to redo it. So like rad cals, new playfield, new plastics, like everything ready to go, but he just didn't have the time. So I bought it and I was like, I'm totally going to do all this stuff. So now I have a Bad Cats sitting next to a playfield and new plastics and some rad cals.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Yeah. One day I will get to work on our games instead of working on other people's games. And it will be glorious, Jeff.
I have no doubt that it'll be glorious, but
and then you can come play my Bad Cats and you can come play my Labyrinth.
Okay.
Great.
This feels like a good deal.
Yeah. I mean, especially for you.
Yeah. There's no way you're winning on that. yeah, I'm down to get bad with the cats. So, okay, so we agree. My first game?
Yes.
Now, I'm being specific here. Not in an attempt to be mean, I'm just curious. The Cactus Canyon remake.
All right. I haven't played the Cactus Canyon remake as much as I've played the original Cactus Canyon. So, I used to play it at C-Bar on the Rose City route, and it was great, and I loved it. So playing the remake for me, the few times I haven't played it a ton, the few times that I've played it, I'm like, oh, that's right. This game's really fun. And then I don't understand, like my brain is still in original rules mode, I guess. And it just feels a little disconnected to me because of that. The game itself, I still think is really fun. Like the shots are fun and, you know, lock is lit and so am I is like always one of those classic call outs. But I don't feel, or I haven't felt, I guess, the like draw to replay it as much as I did back then. And I don't know if that was because it was such like a rare thing back then, or I don't know. I'm somewhere in the middle.
If you could be in the middle. That's not a...
Yeah. I mean, I'm sitting kind of slopshoddy, but it's for weird reasons, you know?
They're totally reasons that make sense. So I guess here's my thing. I never truly loved Cactus Canyon. I think what they did in the remake is great, and they did a nice job with it. I just can't, for me, get into the game all that much. I don't think it's bricked it, so I'm just gonna say it's a slop shot for me.
Yeah. I mean, the original would be a nailed it for me. I haven't connected with the new rules, and that's where I kind of fall in the middle, in our gray area.
Yeah, and that's obviously a very important part of the game.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
So are we both slopped?
I think we're both slopped.
Okay.
Okay.
But yours, Bad Cats, we both loved. So we're agreeing a lot.
I know. It's weird. It's been happening a bunch the past few. I feel like we need to drop some more divisive. I might be dropping a more divisive one right now, actually.
Yeah, hit me with it.
I'm looking at a... I'm feeling nostalgic. A little Pinburg replay effects nostalgia happening.
Okay.
And I want to know what you think about one of the classic appearing in Pinburg Bank games that would end up in dollar games afterwards that people either hated or hated. And I feel like maybe I was the only one who loved it. And that's Rogo.
Oh, so situational, lovable, and hateable. It's a true, it depends on what it do situation. But I do have to pick one of the three things. I think simply due to what I'm saying, I think I'm going to say slopped because they're dollar games. Heck yes, for sure. Yeah, I'll say slop.
We're disagreeing because it is a nailed it.
Okay, but I understand know. That too.
I know that it's weird and sometimes unpredictable and sometimes just really, really mean or really boring, depending on how it's set up. But I just love it so much. I think I've won it every time I've played it in a round at Pinburg. And we the dollar games after were always what? So fun. Like that ridiculous giant U... It's so simple yet over exaggerated at the same time.
No, that's actually like important though, because it's different.
Yeah. It's different. It's really different.
But it's simple different, which is such an odd thing, but
it's harder to do.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll stick with the slopped just because it does have its obvious drawbacks too, but situationally, I do love it. Situationally, I do hate it. So, I think though, we're going to easily agree on this one. I hope so. I don't want to get mad at you. But
are you sure?
I'm not really actually that sure of anything. But my next one's Taxi.
Oh, that's a nailed it.
Okay. Me too.
Taxi's a nailed it. Taxi is a classic, gorgeous game. When it's set up well, it plays like a dream. Like the flow in that game, I mean, talk about classic callouts, and stylistically, it's just such a great game.
It's another one of those just like beautifully simple games.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple, in a totally great way.
I love a pinball crossover. So when you have to pick Pinbot up in your taxi, and let's just talk about the theme, because the theme is just you're driving a taxi.
That's the greatest.
And it worked so well. And like the cast of characters that you're picking up, it's like, okay, you've got Marilyn Monroe, or not Marilyn, depending on what version you had. And then you've got Pinbot and Dracula, and then you've got Gorbachev and Santa. Like, it's just so bizarre and fun. And like, I love a great non-licensed theme. But it's just such a silly premise where now if a machine came out and the theme was you're just driving a taxi and picking up passengers, people would be like, what are you talking about?
And why are you talking about it? Yes. Okay. Well, we agree on that one then. What's your third?
Oh, all right. My third is Charlie's Angels.
Oh, okay. This is another one of those like situational ones for me, but I am actually going to disappoint you right now. I'm going to say it's a brick.
Jeff, how could you?
I have trauma with the game. It's treated me very poorly.
Okay, but maybe you had something to do with that? Maybe probably. Charlie shouldn't take all of the blame? Is this... Are you projecting?
I'm not blaming Charlie. I'm doing what any good red-blooded American male would do. I'm blaming the angels. I'm blaming the women.
Ah, of course. Of course.
Not oh stupid. Oh my
gosh.
I don't know what it is. But it's something that maybe I feel like I could come around on, because I used to hate the classic Playboy, and now I love it. I have no idea if it's going to be that sort of thing for me or not, but I don't know. I don't know what my problem is. Okay. If I knew what my problem is, life would be a lot simpler, but I'm assuming it's a nailed it for you.
It's a nailed it for me. I love like the asymmetry above the flippers where you've got like a standard slingshot on one side, and then you've got that really exaggerated sling where you need to be able to nudge well to save that ball, or not nudge at all, which is the thing where it's always like, oh my God, do I do this? Do I not do this? Am I just going to ruin this for myself? I like putting myself in perilous pinball situations, I guess, and then try and get myself out of them. And there's something really satisfying too of that era when you go over those little rollovers and they make that little click, 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 clicks. You know, like it's just really good. And it's one of the last games of pinball that I got to play with my mom at the Silver Ball Museum in Asbury Park before she got sick. So it's one of those, like, I wanted to get her a Charlie's. Like, it was my goal to find one for her, to get for her. And I could never find one. And now where she is, she doesn't have space for it. Or, you know, I still think that it would be really great to have a pinball machine in an Alzheimer's or memory care unit, because it's a tactile thing and it's a sound thing, which are great for people who have dementia. But I don't think that they would let me put one there. But I found one for cheap, like down in Miami a couple years ago, but the cabinet's literally falling apart. So I have it held together with ratchet straps, and one day I will rebuild a cabinet and put this Charlie's together, and that will all be thinking of my mom during it. But it's also just a really fun game to play.
Oh, it definitely is.
Then why you got to be so negative?
It's just how I do.
You're like, yeah, it's really fun. It's a brick.
Get rid of it. No, don't get rid of it. I'm just a miserable human being. That's yeah. All.
Okay.
I'm joyless. I'm glad that got a little bit heated there.
I know we've needed to shake it up, Jeff. For being too nice to each other.
We're very dimensional beings. Yeah. We're not flat personalities, and sometimes we disagree.
That's true.
Because I mean, sometimes you're wrong.
I mean, that's also true. Like a lot of times in life, but it's okay.
Tis.
Okay. What's your last game?
My last game, and I think this is going to be divisive amongst everybody out there. It's Black Knight, Swords of Rage.
Gosh, that's such a hard one. Are we talking pro or premium?
I'll let you decide.
Okay. So if we're talking pro, I'm leaning on the side of Nailed It. And if we're talking premium, I'm leaning on the side of Bricked It. So
is it the upper playfield you don't like on the premium?
Okay. So when you think about defining features of Black Knight, Black Knight 2000, you are thinking upper playfield.
A loopy upper playfield.
Yeah. Then you get to Swords of Rage, and it's like my initial thoughts about Swords of Rage were, it's not Black Knight if it doesn't have an upper playfield. And then I played it with the upper playfield. And I was like, why is this here? I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like the upper playfield. I don't like the ball lock mech. For me, just I think it's either side. It's a Bricked It leaning towards slop. I don't think it's a disaster of a game. I think it's just a missed opportunity of a game.
Right. That's fair. But when it's playing well and it's playing fast and mean and like it's set up nice, especially like when it's punishingly fast. I know you hate when games are playing super fast, and we just talked about this.
No. I like fast games. I don't like fast games that the design doesn't handle its own speed.
Right. Well enough. This one handles the speed well, I believe.
It does. There's a couple of sucker shots that you are forced to hit that can be a bit frustrating, but
sure.
The most ridiculous thing about that entire game, aside from the upper playfield that you mentioned, is that they use the action button on the lock bar for the Magna save, and you just can't. To have the extra button on the side.
Yes, it has to be a button on the side. The center button, I will never, every time I would go to use it, I would still hit the side of the cabinet where there should be a button. I would never hit the center button for that. So, yes, but that also goes into my feeling, my grump session that we're going to have in another episode, that center buttons are far too overused in games.
Oh, yes. Days.
Like, they have no rhyme or reason most of the time. But, nope. And yeah.
It goes back to the thing that I old man ranted about. They flash them all the time when there's nothing to collect with it or nothing to do with it. They're just flashing the stupid things. It's like, stop flashing things that aren't lit. Oh, it drives me crazy. I hate when the lock bar is flashing and it's not going to do anything. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. I'm exactly. Not sorry. Or it's like they're slightly different colored. What does this color mean? What does this do? I have no idea what's happening.
Do I want to know when it's red, or do I want it's green or white?
Or does it not do anything at all right now? Or if when I hit it, instead of it doing something, it cancels something. I can't, unless the game is like explicitly telling me this, I cannot interpret all of the signs from the lockdown button. We're going off on a.
Yeah, AC/DC uses it perfectly, and everything else has got slightly worse since then. Peak dumb was the TIE Fighters, and then it's kind of stayed dumb since then.
Oh, God. Okay, not even just the TIE Fighters, but the fact that you have to, like, hit it and then move your shots for your multiplier and then hit it again. Nope.
In a game that moves at breakneck pace, that's a game where the design doesn't handle its speed.
Rules don't
match the design. Okay, sorry.
Okay, we're done now.
We are so done with that. Hey, that was a good session of the Hurry Up. It kind of felt
therapeutic.
It was a roller coaster. It was at times warm, at times inexplicably frosty, and at times just outright fiery angry. So, stuff. That's what we want out of that.
It was a nice productive therapy session of a hurry up.
It was. We got a few things out. Okay. Speaking of a few things being out, there are new ads out in the pinball universe. Have you happened to be exposed to any ads that you were surprised to see lately, Jess?
Oh, you mean like a flyer, like, you know, like with features listed, or like what kind of ad are you talking about? No, there,
it doesn't help you in any way.
No,
but you may not have noticed, but you probably did. Stern has started putting ads into the attract modes on their games,
and you can turn them off in setting number 55.
That is the most important piece of info the show has to offer this week.
They call it message of the day, and then you can have it on or off. So they're also like hiding it in the language, you know, because you're looking for something that says turn off unsolicited ads, and there's nothing that says that. It just says message of the day.
Yeah, I still feel like the best attract modes, you know, you have the insert coins and it shows the number of coins you need to put, or is that's fine. The best ones are the ones that give you like little rundowns on the game.
Or fun facts.
Yes.
Like Ghostbusters has fun facts about the movie.
They're great. Yes.
Yeah.
Ads just feels like not the place for an attract mode. That's like a, what's the opposite of attract? It's like a
disgust like a mode.
Repel? Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah, it's just a weird thing. We're light on news this week, folks. So, but that's news. That happened. And I hope that they would start using that space, though. If they could make it dynamic, say your machine's connected, that they could use it to like publish IFPA events or other things. If it was going to be message of the day, that maybe they could actually roll through helpful info, and hopefully ads were just like the placeholder test, but I kind of feel like they're going to be here to stay.
Yeah, I concur. It's difficult. Like I'm not exactly sure who it's aimed at, because if you're trying to get people to purchase games for them to have at home and it's on a location machine, the location wants you to come and play the games at their location.
Yes. They don't want you to home go sales home.
Right. And if you have the game that you're seeing in your house because you've already purchased it, then you don't need the ad telling you to buy a pinball machine to put in your house, because you've already done it. So I don't really understand.
You know what the ad could say?
Hmm.
For the price of another game, you could add a topper to this machine.
Oh, I'm sure that'll come. I'm sure. Oh gosh, this would be terrible, but I could potentially see it happening. Like if you have a game that's out on location that doesn't have the topper, and it's one of those toppers that enables an additional mode or whatever, I could see them like putting an ad saying,
tell your operator,
tell your operator to get this topper to play this additional secret mode that you can only play with the topper.
Did you know you're missing out on pinball at this location?
Do you know location cheaped out and didn't spend the extra $2,000 to put the topper on here so you could play an extra mode?
And they tell you the location nearby that has one.
That's so terrible. Why are we giving them ideas?
I'm not editing it out, but.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Just bleep the whole thing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Great.
I mean, it did happen because people listening to it now, they heard the beep. Okay. So we've been asked to talk, opine, if you will, on the state of the pinball industry. There's more pinball manufacturers now than I think ever, when you include even the small run companies, the big constant line running companies, and the in-betweenies. There's a lot of pinball companies. pinball prices are also higher than they've ever been. The pinball market seems to be as big as it's been for the home market ever. Location market obviously is nothing like it was in the 60s, 70s, 80s, even early 90s. But a lot of people asking, like, if we think that there's a crash or correction of sorts incoming. And I don't know. What do you think? Like, do you have any opinions on that? You've obviously been more connected to the location world than I have, but what do you think?
I mean, I'm terrible at financial things. So I can't really predict trends very well, or I don't know if I was just like, oh, I'm going to do this now, that I would be able to do well at it, because it doesn't seem to make any sense, Jeff. It's like prices are super, super high, and then all of a sudden everyone's like, nope, and then nobody's buying anything, and then prices for games just plummet, or prices are getting raised on one hand, and then for certain titles, prices are getting dropped randomly. I don't know what's happening anymore.
So what I think I've been seeing, because I finally started to buy games again, I've noticed that you do not have to be on the phone or banging on someone's door who's listed a game within the first 5 minutes anymore. For a bit there, any game that went up in any condition was selling for just bonkers money. And that's definitely cooled off. There's still, if there's a good deal on a game, it's gone, like, right away, for sure. But yeah, reasonably priced games sit for a while. Overpriced games are now sitting for a very long time. So that definitely is happening. And I've looked around in different markets just out of curiosity, just kind of see what's happening elsewhere. And it seems like that's just starting to happen everywhere. That could be that people have filled their game rooms with all of the buying craze that went on. Like, the last 3 or 4 years were crazy for people buying pinball machines. So a lot of people probably filled their game rooms. But at the cost that they did it, makes it prohibitive to rotate their games very much, I think. So yeah, that kind of cooled, I think, on the secondary market. For the new market, it seems LEs and collector's editions are still, like, people are kind of showing up to those for their pre-orders, but they're not the lightning quick sellouts. So I see a little slowing there. But I think what is happening is people are getting a little more choosy. People are still willing to buy new in-box games, but they're getting a little more picky by most. And you know, there's some distributors who will say, and then a lot is just kind of inferred from what's happening, but it appears that Venom has not sold very well. And I think that's because it's coming off the back of Foo Fighters, which everyone loved and they were in on it. And I think that the money to jump in on something like Venom, that, I don't know, you may or may not like it, but it doesn't feel as surefire of a long-term prospect, that people are saying, okay, well, we know L1's coming up next, so I'm gonna wait and see, rather than just saying, well, whatever comes out, I'll just buy it, and I always know I can resell for what I'm into it, or even at a small profit.
Yeah,
because that's not such a sure thing due to the cooling secondhand market, which is kind of trickling upwards to the new in-box market. So while I don't personally see, like, a crash coming in, I see a slowing. And I think that slowing is just bringing things back to a sane level. I don't know that it was normal that people were waiting 9 months for a Jurassic Park or something like that. That seemed wild that the lines were getting so long on those things. So I don't know. I don't think it's doom and gloom at all, but I think some of the manufacturers, the big ones, are going to be fine. They can survive a miss here because there's enough interest in the other games on their line that they're constantly going to be able to sell games and have games in production. But I think some of the smaller ones, when they have a miss, it's going to hurt them really bad, because they can't afford to have one of their games skipped in their release schedule. I don't know how Spinal Tap sold, but garbage, right?
Spinal Tap still makes me really, really sad just because
wasted license.
It's a wasted license. I love it so much. And I mean, then to see who was making the game, it was very challenging for me, but, they're pushing games out at like crazy numbers, I think, which is, I know Stern doesn't release their production numbers, but it just feels like there's a lot of certain games that are there, like just like around. So that's kind of messing with, you know, supply, demand, people's perception of value and price. And
yeah,
someone had posted something maybe on Pinball Enthusiasts or something. I took Facebook off my phone because I'm not supposed to look at people anymore doing like posting crazy stuff and going down some internet rabbit hole. It's better for my mental health if I avoid those things. But I did happen to see that someone posted something about it was like the price of a used game versus the price of a like Venom, whatever. Uh-huh. And they were like, you know, proof that the pinball market's insane. And I was like, I just think that people have different interests at different times. I don't necessarily know. And if there's a lot more of a game that's just really available, so while they're running a game and there's still ones that you can get brand new, of course you're not going to make as much on that game when you're selling it used as someone is when they're selling it just in the box.
Right. So, like, they've got Jurassic Parks on the line. You're going to have to take a loss if you're selling one used.
Yeah. And that seems to, I don't know, that seems to make sense to me, but other people it's not making sense to, or it's alarming to. Pinball is not going away. I don't think that there's any indication that that's going to be a thing that's happening. The market gets weird on all the different kinds of things that you buy at all different times. So this one just happens to be a time where if you have the space and you have the money, you could probably pick up some older games at a decent price. And that was not the case, you know, 6 months ago. Things ebb and flow. And I don't think that it's worth jumping off the hypothetical bridge going crazy over. Everything will be okay. Not like
you need to cash out now and sell off your collection, or else you're going to get stuck with dead money. Like,
yeah,
that's not happening. I just always thought it was weird, and it's only been like last 5 years or so where people expected to buy a game brand new and it would never depreciate. Like, it was always cheaper to buy on the secondhand market until recently, and there's no way it can stay like that for the reasons that you mentioned and others. But I think I don't want to get into this discussion now. There's a difference between a pinball player, a pinball collector, and a pinball player collector. And
yeah,
that middle one is the odd duck that's expecting the market to always shift towards their interests. And I don't want to get into much of that right now, but the player and the player collector, they're the ones that have been punished most by the scurry market. But
yeah,
I think we kind of agree. Like, yeah, there's going to be some upward, downward shifting on pricing and number of games and all that. But it's nothing's on fire. The roof is sound.
Yeah, everything's fine. And it just makes people have to prioritize a little more, I think, like focus on the things that they really, really want. So if a new game comes out, and you just usually get a new game and then eventually you cycle it out, but prices are weird and you can't sell something out of your collection, then maybe they'll focus on the stuff that they genuinely want to keep around, or the ones that it's, you know, worth putting that little bit of extra money into versus what they're getting out of something else. But I feel like it's going to hone people's collections in a little bit more.
Yeah. Or the days of try it before you buy it might come back.
Right? That would be really fun. I like those days.
The good old days. All right. That's definitely enough of that. Thanks for those who asked us to speak on it. If you have reactions to that, you can email us at pinballpodcast@gmail.com. I did want to mention one thing that's got me grumpy.
Just one?
I've mentioned a few, but there's only one left.
Okay.
I'll keep it quick, but I will get grumpy on this. And you might like these, and you, listener, might love and adore these. I hate these things, but it's these precision flippers. Have you played with them, Jess?
I actually picked up a set of them at Texas to try.
Yes.
On our Godzilla.
Did you get air balls?
No. I haven't personally noticed a ton. But I also have barely played any pinball. So it's not like I was playing games of Godzilla, then put these on, then directly compared it to what I was just doing. So I'm probably not the best person to be. I don't hate them. Like, they're on there now and I'll play games of Godzilla and I don't hate the experience. Am I buying them for all of my games? Not right now.
So I'll explain to you how I stepped into the world of precision pinball playing. Precision flipper. So I went to league one night and I didn't get there in time to warm up. On my way to the place, there was a car accident. I got in like minutes before we were sent to our matchups. So I walked up and the first game I played on, I think it was Rush. And it was The Walking Dead. I walked up and I had a Walking Dead and I have those shots really, really dialed in. It's a hard game. Magnets can screw you. Ball gets wild on you, but I can hit the barn loop 95% accuracy. I can hit that CDC ramp 85% accuracy. I can hit those shots and hit them reliably. I went and I just was missing badly. Like, it wasn't like it was just kind of sloppy rattling out. I was way off. And after the second ball, I'm like, I finally asked someone I was playing with, are you missing all the shots? I'm like, what is going on with this game? And so they said, oh, did you not warm up? All the games here have these precision flippers. And so I didn't even know what they're talking about. I'd never heard of them. I hadn't seen them. And then, so when I got up on my ball three, I looked down and yeah, they're these metal aluminum bats with super bands on them.
Oh, okay. Well, the super bands, that's not good.
Yeah. So first of all, you can't trap a ball with super bands on a precision flipper. You try and catch that ball, it's just going to bounce. It's way too springy. And so that was frustrating. But what was happening is these suckers flipped so fast, plus the different grip of those super bands, that your shots geometry is way different. Just way different. The flipper bat's moving too fast. So I was frustrated. I played that. I had to play Rush, which I already don't like. And Foo Fighters had them. And they were horrible. The ball was just zipping around. And I was irritated. I didn't like it. And everyone else had like been there for the hour and a half or whatever, and played them. Plus, they had been to that place before and played them. And that was my first time ever there. So I hated it. It was my worst week of league. There was one older game that didn't have them, and I high scored it for the week. I think it was Twilight Zone.
Is this you being bitter because you didn't play well on the games with the flippers, or is it genuinely okay? Also, the super bands, I don't think that you can accurately speak to your experience with the precision flippers with super bands on there. Like, well, maybe you should try them without super bands, with something else.
Well, it was a nightmare then. All I know is that shots either just the angles were wrong because the flipper speed was different. Anyway, so I tried to figure out, like, what is the deal with these things, right? So I looked them up and deep dived down into Reddit posts and Pinside or whatever. And the champions for them tend to be these like high mod people. So I was like, okay, so maybe it's one of those pretty over function type of things. But then as I kept getting deeper and deeper, it sounded like, okay, if you're going to use these, you have to dial down your coil powers and you have to change the pitch of your game. Well, none of that was done on the machines I played. They were just thrown on the machine, right? So apparently you're supposed to, yes, chill out the flipper power and you're supposed to play at a different pitch. Well, the next time I came up to them again was at the league finals. And again, they had super bands on them, but I was sending the ball just airborne because it was going too fast. It was an Avengers Premium. I hit the backboard like three times, just rocket shots. It was falling off ramps. It was hitting targets and just the ball speed was out of control. And it's because it was kicking so blasted hard. And there were only three games there that had it. I lost all three games on it. With the regular flippers, won easily on the regular flipper games. But what it did is it made Avengers such a mess that if you hit the lock for the Iron Man one, you know, the little Stark Tower, the ball would fly up so fast, smack the top of it and fall down that the magnet would miss it. Or it would, it was just, you would hit the spinner and your ball would fly off of it, or you were hit, just the shots were nuts. And it was so crazy, but I again was bothered. I said, well, people say they're really more for Jersey Jack games or the new CGC games, not so much Stearns, unless, and then again, it was all of the other work you need to put into it. So sure. If you have to like slow your game down to use them, what's really the point? I don't think we've had a lack of precision. I mean, I don't see Elwin struggling to repeat a shot.
Well, that's Elwin. I think that yes, there's going
to
be...
That speaks, though, to the flippers fairly consistent, because if the flippers were not consistent, he would miss those shots at a reasonable rate. I think that flippers, maybe they're 95%, and that's why I can hit barn 95% of the time on Walking Dead. But with percentage flippers, I was 10%. It was wild. I was guessing where I had to shoot, or just, you know, I'm just gonna have to play flippy flip. I was mad. I hated it. I don't think they should be IFP illegal. I think they're because anyone who comes to one that doesn't have experience with them is at a severe disadvantage to those who do have experience with them.
Yeah. But well,
that's the rant. I'm mad about them.
I understand you're mad about them. I am not as mad about them. I don't have any reason to be mad at them right now. So take the super bands off because, you know, those are no fun. But
that might be the biggest impact on them.
And also, when you play a game that you have and you have the shots all dialed, like anytime I played a tournament and there was a Theater of Magic, everyone's like, oh my gosh, you're going to kick my ass on this because I had one. And I was like, no. This makes this so much worse because mine is not going to play like this one. There's no, like, everything's different. So, you know, it's just about adaptation and knowing not to expect the same thing on a game from one location to another.
Yeah, that's always the case. Like, I owned a TNA. If I play TNA or Rare, my score is about half what it typically is. But I just found that with those, because it changed the flipper speed, I couldn't find the shots. Whereas I could find the difference in a shot because I knew how it would or supposed to shoot. But
yeah.
Anyway, I hate them. I hate them, and I'm grumpy.
The opinions expressed by Jeff are not the opinions endorsed by the Pinball Podcast.
But hopefully they will be by the IFPA when you get them out of tournaments.
I don't think it's going to happen. Don't think it's happening. All right. Well, we are running so much longer than we have been lately. So,
like a flipped pinball off of a precision flipper.
I see what you've done there. What have you been playing aside from precision pinball, flipper, pinball?
Well, I've been traveling around and stuff, so not a whole lot. Jamie and I are behind on our Super Mario Wonder progress, but that's what's on tap. So nothing new to say about it. Yeah.
I did get the watermelon game, and it is entirely your fault.
It's so fun, though.
You'll hear your name cursed several times a week around here.
It's the cherries.
Oh, the cherries. It's, you know, it's the bizarre physics I can't wrap my head around, but it's adorable, so I keep doing it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good game. It's oddly addictive.
Yeah. Yep. Problematically so. All right, Jeff. What else? Do we have anything else? What else do we have?
Just reminder that at ddpinball.com, use the Yay Pinball code. Get your discount on very good pinball merch.
Thank you.
Email us at pinballpodcast@gmail.com. I won't be entertaining pro precision flipper talk, so.
So everyone send all of your pro precision flipper talk to Jeff, please.
Actually, no, I'll take it. Sorry. I'll take it. If you can give me something that's helpful, like how I can deal with those things, I will definitely listen. Because if they become commonplace, I will have to adapt. I understand that. So, but
play
anything else?
Better. Is play better?
Is no, play it's better not. It's not. The is game needs to or... play better.
Okay, Jeff.
But I don't know. We may have a little thing rolling out with the website soon. We'll post about it on the socials and all that. We'll make you all aware when there's new stuff to see or do.
Excellent. Thank you, Jeff.
I need a nap.
Right?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Until next time. Whenever that is.
We love you all.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.